Blog Talk Radio.
Marcus Cain. As I see it. Common sense. In a world of insanity.
Ladies and gentlemen, I've been saying for a very, very long time that the Democratic Party's ideology, specifically this new liberal, radical, socialist, communist, fascist, Democratic Party's ideologies, do not stand up to scrutiny. They will not stand up to the facts because this current Democratic Party does not live in reality. They live in a fantasy world and in a bubble where anything they say or dream is true and facts don't matter. And when facts do not matter, it's impossible to debate and win. It's absolutely impossible because you're denying reality. And the person on the other end of the podium, well, they're giving you the reality. They're throwing the cold water on you. Now, we have seen over the last, few weeks, a handful of debates that have went very, very poorly. Very poorly for the Democratic Party. Tim Ryan and J.D. Vance out in Ohio. Tim Ryan resorts to what every Democrat has to resort to when they're being bombarded with facts and simply lies and says, do you understand that J.D. Vance, when a 12-year-old girl was brutally raped, would have opposed her getting an abortion? That poor 12-year-old girl he has no compassion for. She would have been forced to carry that child if J.D. Vance had anything to say about it. Well, the first part's a lie, which J.D. Vance corrected and said, that's not true. That's not my policy. I never said I would have opposed that. That's number one. Number two, why don't you tell the people who raped a 12-year-old girl, and that was an illegal alien that should never have been in this country and wouldn't have been, had it not been for the radical policies of the Democratic Party that you support. Home run, absolutely correct. And what do you say to that? Well, you don't say anything to it. You just stumble and mumble because you know and just keep repeating, yes, he would have. Yeah, no, he's lying. Because the Democrats are beginning to understand that they cannot stand up to the scrutiny of the facts. It's almost like they were brainwashed. You know, there was a story I once heard about how too many people say the word Nazi and compare everybody to a Nazi. I'm not going to do that. But I am going to compare a story. Nazi soldiers were told, you are invincible. You are the Uberman. You cannot be stopped. So you're going to march into Russia in the freezing cold temperatures with absolutely no actual gear designed to allow you to do that. And you don't have to worry. You're not going to freeze. No one's going to be able to defeat you. It'll be a cakewalk. And they got their asses handed to them. And it was the beginning of the end because when those soldiers came back, the ones that survived, they realized we're not. We were lied to. We're not invincible. We're not Superman. We're not whatever. We were ordered to go do something, and it was a fool's mission, and we failed miserably. Well, that's what's happening right now with all of these Democratic candidates who are told, go out there and toe the party line. There's not a Republican alive that can oppose you. There's not a Republican alive that can bring up a point that would make what we're saying factually inaccurate. And then they do it. And the response from the candidates are deer in the headlights because they were told there was no such thing. And they believed it because they're brainwashed. So Tim Ryan sits there and says, because you forgot that little fact, didn't you? Or you thought J.D. Vance didn't know that fact. So now how do you defend yourself against the position that the girl wouldn't have been raped to begin with? So now who's the non-compassionate person? Oh, but J.D. Vance and Tim Ryan weren't the only ones. Lee Zeldin in New York totally destroyed Hochul, who destroyed herself, by the way. Kathy Hochul literally, when confronted with crime, and Lee Zeldin saying to her, why do you think everyone is leaving New York? Why is it that you think we're having a mass exodus out of New York? Are you blind to that? Do you not understand that your soft on crime policies has caused more crime and people are tired of it? People don't want to live in an area where they feel unsafe. Her response is, anybody who commits a crime is dealt with accordingly, and I don't know why that's so important to you. I want you to let that sink in for a minute, because therein the truth was told for the first time in a long time, and it was forced out of her. It was forced out of her by a stressful question she had no answer for. Why does it matter? Why is that so important to people? Why is it so important that you're safe in New York? Gee, that's a puzzling question, isn't it? Well, she's perfectly safe. She's surrounded probably 24 hours a day. So she feels perfectly safe. She doesn't care if you have to ride the subway. She doesn't care if you have to walk the streets at night or even in the broad daylight now. It's not even safe. And the truth comes out when she's pressed. And she literally says, I don't know why you care this much about it. Well, the short answer, Kathy Hochul, is because you don't. Problem. You don't. Every one of your policies has been so soft on crime that now we are seeing, because there are no actual repercussions for many of the crimes you commit, they continue to commit them or the crime increases. That should not be a proposition for Liechtenstein. That should be common sense. Why do you care? So I'm going to ask New York, why do you care? Why do you care so much if there's crime in the streets? Why do you care what we do with the people we catch that commit crimes? Why do you care if we release them? Therein lies the problem, folks. Therein lies the problem. We saw Ron DeSantis take on Charlie Crist. Disaster. Absolute disaster. With Charlie Crist literally becoming so desperate, he has to go again to the Democrat playbook. See, when you have no answers for a question that you're asked, you then have to try to vilify the person who asked it. So when Ron DeSantis is talking about businesses, and business in Florida, Charlie Crist says, well, you're the least business-friendly person we've ever had. Are you insane? Are you insane? There is not one Floridian, if they intend to vote Democrat for the rest of their life, who honestly think that Ron DeSantis is anti-business. He kept his businesses open during COVID. Yes, he's anti-business. That's why everybody's flocking there. See, the weaknesses of the Democrats during a debate. They are not prepared because they don't have any policies that actually work. They can't defend the policies they've already put into place. And the policies they want to put in place in the future are even more egregious. So they have to resort to name-calling. It's the equivalent of you saying, no, 2 + 2 is not 6. And their answer being, I know I am, but what are you? Or you're a big stupid head. Does that sound? fading quicker than a fidget spinner. Bad. And people are realizing this is a disaster. What's happening in this country is a disaster. So no one wants to make any time for Joe Biden. But when the ship is sinking, when Kathy Hochul literally says, I don't know why people care about so much about crime in New York and what we do with the criminals, I don't know what to tell you. But do you sense a pattern here? Do you sense a pattern that the Democrats, who really aren't the people who are running the ship, in other words, none of us think Joe Biden is actually running the country. None of us think that. Most Democrats know better than that. Joe Biden's not running anything. He has a machine behind him, and he was selected. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, not doing any of her own homework. She's being told what to say and what to do. She was auditioned for the part like an actor. Kathy Hochul didn't get a vote. She was just put in there. Interim, here you go. We need somebody even a little more radical than the last one we had. Do you sense a pattern? Because I do. And now in Pennsylvania with Fetterman and Dr. Oz, there's another pattern. Fetterman is not capable. Now, I want people to understand something very clearly, because once again, the Democrats go back to their old playbook. If you say that Fetterman is not capable or not able to hold that position, you're going to be called every name in the book and say, you're just against people who have handicaps or have had medical problems. These, by the way, the same people that said when Donald Trump was holding a glass of water with two hands, it clearly showed he was weak. It clearly showed he was in poor health and should be removed from office because he was holding a glass of water with two hands. Should be removed from office because he was walking down a slippery steel rampway with dress shoes and it was wet. Do you see how carefully he's walking? The man is very, very, very fragile and ill. He needs to be removed. We can't have a president that holds a glass of water with two hands. Makes him incapable. We can't have a president that can barely make it down a rampway because it's wet and slippery and he's wearing dress shoes. He needs to be removed for his own good, for health reasons. Joe Biden falls up the stairs three times trying to get on an airplane, and it was the wind. Oh, the wind knocked Joe Biden down three times? Wow. He's wandering around the White House lawn and doesn't know how to get in. Oh, that's not his fault. He was just looking at some flowers. When he thinks about why he just made an error. Everybody does that once in a while, a little gaffe when they're speaking. Everything's fine with Joe Biden because he don't hold a glass of water with two hands. And you're okay to say that Donald Trump's not fit for office medically, but Joel, you can't say Fetterman isn't. That's no-no. Well, did you watch the debate? This is a man who started the debate saying, hello, ladies and gentlemen, good night. That's what he said. Hello, ladies and gentlemen, good night. Not good evening, good night. He has to have special teleprompters that actually type out the question because his brain will not process what you're saying correctly. Now, I want to tell you this. It's a horrible thing that man had a stroke. Horrible. Nothing to make fun of. It's nothing to laugh at. And I'm sure everyone hopes he gets 100% better and returns to absolute peak cognitive skills. And I hope he does. I really and truly hope he does. But for people to sit there and say, well, he's brave. He knew he had a disadvantage on that stage. He knew that he had a stroke and a handicap that was going to put him at a disadvantage. And yet he still persevered. He still climbed up on that stage. He still took a heroic stance. No, that's not heroic. That's not heroic. You know what heroic is? Heroic is looking into the eyes of the people and saying, I suffered a stroke. My doctor says I have a very good chance of making 100% recovery. However, my current condition has left me with some issues, and these issues would probably be a detriment on me attempting to be your representative. And so this isn't going to be goodbye. When I am 100% and I'm ready to represent you at 100% capacity, I will be back, and I hope I have your vote. Cannot, in good conscience, tell you that time is now. That's heroic. That's caring about your state. Not climbing up there and not being able to answer a question. And to the moderator's credit, they asked some tough questions. They asked Fetterman, you clearly said you were against fracking. Okay, and if you want to go back and play the interview, he said, I was always against fracking. I do not like fracking. I'm against it from the beginning, and I'm still against it. Fast forward, and he says he's for fracking because he realized Pennsylvania runs on fracking, and it would cost a zillion jobs if fracking was ever eliminated. He's not going to get votes from people. So now he says he's for fracking. So he was asked, what's the great change? Proper answer from an intelligent person is, by the way, let's make this clear. I'm not blaming this on his stroke. He's not an intelligent person. He's never been a good debater. He's not an intelligent person. And he says, I'm for fracking, and I'm for fracking. That's what he says. That's not answering the question. They ask you what made the change. You said you weren't, and now you say you are. You know what the proper answer is? After doing more research and realizing how vital this is to the state of Pennsylvania, I changed my mind. And I think that's a very, very positive thing for a candidate to be able to do. We are not elected to hang stubbornly onto our own ideologies. We are elected to be able to change our mind if we are presented with facts that would do so. That's all he had to say. That's a home run. That's a home run. Instead, he just says, I'm for fracking, I'm for fracking. Okay, well, you said you're for fracking three times, and you didn't answer the question of why you weren't. I always was, he says. Well, that's not true. And then he kept shouting, Dr. Oz is against abortion. He wants to take all the abortion rights away from everybody forever. Not true. Now, I'm not a big Dr. Oz fan, but that's not what Dr. Oz's policy is. See, that's what the Democrats try to do. They try to scare you with the abortion issue. Dr. Oz said, and he's correct, the government should not be involved in those decisions. The state should. Let local government take care of that. State by state, let the people decide. The people are not, if the majority of the people in California want there to be abortion right up until 10 seconds before the baby's due, well, then the majority of the people do. And if you don't like it, don't live in California. But if the majority of people in West Virginia says we don't want any at all, well, then don't live in West Virginia. That's the beauty of the United States of America. This should be fundamentally obvious. But I guess it's not. So what the Democrats are doing now is called fear-mongering. They have nothing to run on. They tried to run on January 6th. Nobody puts that as a top issue. So now they're saying, you do know that if you elect all these Republicans, there's going to be no abortion. Abortion's going to be taken away. Abortion, 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 abortion. Technically speaking, the Democrats are the most racist, misogynistic, homophobic of any of the parties ever. And you know why I say that? When people say, well, if you've got to make up your mind who you got to vote for, you ain't black when you're white. Oh, so you're saying blacks all have groupthink. If you don't vote the way we say, if you don't vote the way the white man says, you're not black. Because we know the way blacks are researched. And if you blacks get out of line and you don't want to vote the way we tell you, then we're going to take your blackhood away and we're just going to say you're not black. That's not a racist statement. That's outrageous. That's absolutely outrageous. Then they say, well, you know, the only thing women really care about is the ability to be able to abort their baby if they don't want to. They don't care about crime. They don't care about the economy. They don't care about foreign policies. They're just women. Women don't care about things like that. All they care about is, oh, I got knocked up. I need to eliminate the child. Because they're just women. That's not misogynistic. Basically saying women are vote for one thing only. One issue voters, that's what women are. It's abortion. That's how we'll get all the women to vote. And oh, if you don't vote for Democrats, because we're pro-abortion right up until 15 seconds before the baby is due, then maybe you're not really a woman. Sound familiar? Oh, well, we don't know why the Latinos are not voting for us. After all, we flooded the country with them. And guess what? The Latinos living here in America are like, we don't want that. But you're not listening to the Latinos because you don't care about them. They see you as a demographic. That's it. They don't see you as a human being. They don't see you as an individual. Joe Biden proved that when he said, if you don't vote for me, you're not black. That's why they can't debate the issues, folks, because they will be revealed as the real racists, the real misogynists, the real homophobes. Now, I want you to understand something. We are facing the most critical midterm elections in the history of this country. And there are people, and I'm not saying every Democrat, so let's calm down. I'm not saying every Democrat. There is a large number of people in the Democratic Party who are absolutely out of their minds insane. And a good portion of them want to get in a position of power where they can control things. And one of the things they want to control is your children. Now, if you have the stomach to do it, I want you to go on YouTube or any of the other sites, and I want you to watch very closely a man in drag with giant phony breasts with a dress barely covering his privates, grinding on the floor and twerking while singing about a woman's private parts using the P word, talking about how yummy it is and how good it is and how you want to eat it up in front of eight-year-olds. The look of horror on a little girl's face that's behind him almost brought me to tears, and I'm not a person who emotes like that very often, because I said to myself, I am watching child abuse. I'm watching it. It's being called education. Now, you explain to me the educational value of having a man in a dress twerk until you can basically see his body part while using such derogatory language. Explain it to me, please. I'll wait. There's none. So now a little eight-year-old girl is going to come home and say, I learned the name for my part here. And it begins with a P. And apparently boys like to do certain things to it. Oh, that or other girls even. That's wonderful. Mommy, guess what I learned in school today? Wonderful. Now, I do not condone any sort of violence, but I'm going to tell you, if that little girl that was in horror behind that man was my daughter, I'm not 100% sure I could control my temper when I hit that school board. That's my child. You don't do things like that to my child. If somebody sat on a park bench next to an 8-year-old and started describing women's private parts and what people do to them in that derogatory language, they'd be in jail! And rightfully so! But no, this idiot, it thinks, oh, wow, open season, I get to do my drag queen hour and talk dirty to children and I get paid for it, and it's called education. It's called being a pervert. And it's called rational people afraid to speak up and say, wait a minute, this is just a pervert. This has nothing to do with sex education. And even if it did, why is 8-year-olds there? That's not appropriate for 17-year-olds. Not that they'd be shocked with the language, but it's still not appropriate. You can't get into a strip club unless you're, what, 21 in some states? If they're serving alcohol, 18, I think, if they're not. And you got 8-year-olds watching this guy twerk, talking about stuff, singing about it. Maybe they'll have a sing-along later. You all know the words, right, children? Stuff I won't even say on this radio, and I have an adult audience. I won't even say it. They're saying it to your 8-year-olds. And you're going to vote for them. You're going to vote for the people who say, I think that's wonderful. I think that's very progressive and wonderful. Hallelujah for that. Let's have more of that. That's what you want, right? You want that. Or you want the guys on the subway who are literally just running into subways and beating people up for no reason so they can put it on YouTube. And, oh, YouTube's not taking it down. I'll tell you what YouTube takes down. YouTube takes down the COVID virus came from a lab. Well, that was taken down quick enough. YouTube takes down the election might have been rigged. YouTube takes that down quick enough. Masks don't work. YouTube takes that down quick enough. But it's okay if people film themselves just literally beating the hell out of people for no reason other than let's dress up in masks, hit a subway, beat the first person we see and film it and put it on YouTube for fun. I don't have to tell you. Your choices can't be clearer. I mean, if you support this kind of stuff, then I don't know. I mean, you must be suicidal. You must have some sort of chip missing, because no one in their right mind supports that. I've not talked to a single Democrat, not one. And I talk to Democrats quite often. I've not talked to a single Democrat who is for having their 8-year-old child forced to attend a drag queen strip show where a man basically twerks in front of them and talks derogatory about women's body parts and the things men and women do to them. I've not talked to one. You know why? Because I don't talk to pedophiles. And that's the only people who would condone that. That's the only people who would condone that. Don't give me no bullshit about its education. It's not. It's indoctrination, maybe, which is exactly what they want to do. I played this before, but you don't believe me? Let's take a listen to a woman who's in charge of your children. See if I got the clip. Now, for some reason, it's not working. I don't know. What I will tell you is this. She said, oh, we're going to start them very young, and we're going to talk about this, and then we're going to progress it slowly into the next level, and then we're going to go to the next level. And by the time they're, 11 years old, it's absolutely outrageous. It's absolutely outrageous. And these are people who are in charge of your educational system, and they think it's fine. They think it's fine. These are the same people who say you don't have to tell your parents if you want to start taking puberty blockers. They're right ahead. So you see, these things do not or are not defensible in a debate. So if you were to ask someone, Are you in favor of having 8-year-old children attend drag queen hour where grown men twerk half naked and use vulgarities and sexual innuendos in front of your children? What is it that they're supposed to say? What is it that the Democrat's supposed to say? Yes, I am. And then what? There's your political career destroyed. But if they say, oh, no, I'm not. Well, then there's your political career destroyed because these crazos want you to be that person. So they got to lie and say, that never happened. That's not nothing of the sort ever happened. But we have it on video, though. We have it on video. We have a man reading out loud a book his daughter brought home from the library at, I think, 12, 11 or 12, that was bought and paid for and approved by the school library that had a section in it where it was graphically describing how to give oral sex to a man in graphic detail. That's in your school library. Your tax dollars paid for that, and they approved it. And when he read it out loud, it was embarrassing. You saw the whole crowd being very embarrassed. The school board is very embarrassed. But they want your kids to read it, though. They want your kids to read it. I'm going to ask you a question. If you got an 11-year-old kid and you find a filthy magazine in his closet and he says, a grown adult next door gave it to me. A grown adult handed me that magazine and said, don't tell your folks I gave it to you. You're going to call the police on that guy, right? I hope you are. Freedom the Riot Act, correct? These are your teachers now. The man I just described is your teachers now. Not all of them, but a good majority of them, and this is what, in fact, they are trying to run through the educational system, is this is the new norm. This is what you will do. Even if you're a teacher who feels uncomfortable with it, too bad, this is what you're doing. Little by little, we've come for your children. So you see, they can't defend that in a debate. They can't defend their record on crime on a debate. They can't defend the economy on a debate. What are you supposed to say? Well, the economy's doing wonderful. It is. Well, here I have a chart. And here was the economy in 2016, 17. And here's the economy now. Here's the cost of things. And then they're going to lie to you, and they're going to say, but look at the job numbers. Look at those job numbers. See how many more people have jobs? No. I see how many more people were forced to take a second one or possibly a third one because they can't afford to put food on the table. Being so desperate you have to take a second job isn't creating jobs. It's creating desperation. And that's what you're doing. You cannot possibly defend these policies. We were told this is transitory inflation. It'll last a month. Well, it's been a lot longer than a month. We're going on 2 years. And now we're hitting a recession, and everyone's saying we're hitting a recession. So how do you defend that? How do you defend closing the entire nation, including the schools? And now, much like I told everyone it's going to, I told you, they're not going to be able to hide the truth forever. There's going to be whistleblowers, there's going to be leaks, and pretty soon we're going to know the truth about this whole thing. The truth about this whole thing is the Board of Education wanted these schools closed. They wanted this to be the new norm. They were hoping and praying that the advent of COVID brings on a new norm where they can just teach this. Had nothing to do with fearing that the children were going to get ill or they were going to get ill. It had nothing to do with that. Had to do with creating a new norm. We know that the masks barely, if any, really had any value at all. Just a experiment to see how many people can we get to follow orders, even if they're obviously ridiculous. How many people can we get to wear a little orange cap on their head and dance around before they enter someplace, like a puppet? We blow a whistle and they jump through the hoop. Now we know the truth. They told us it came from a wet market in Wuhan by some idiot eating a bat. Now we know the truth. It was unleashed. It was unleashed as a warning, most likely. So we know all these things to be true now. They lied to you. They lied to you about the vaccines, too, by the way. Now we're starting to get some early information about possible side effects, and a lot of it ain't good. And what are they saying? Instead of saying, which would be rational, we were in a huge emergency. We rushed what we thought was going to be at least a partially successful vaccine that would stop widespread death and destruction. And yes, it does have side, it did have side effects. And now we're beginning to see them, and we understand that that's not good. But at the time, we were between a rock and a hard place, and it was the lesser of two evils, and we felt that this was, in fact, the lesser of two evils. We were mistaken, perhaps, but we erred on the side of caution, and we were wrong. People would forgive that. But when you say, absolutely not, nothing like that has ever occurred, it's still the safest vaccine in the history of the world, there are no side effects, anyone who says otherwise is a liar. And by the way, you better get your kids in order, or they're not even going to school this year. You got the right to say, what the hell are you talking about? What the hell are you talking about? Oh, by the way, here in New York, all those people who lost their jobs because they would not take the vaccine, yeah, well, they're all going back to work. They're all going back to work. You don't really need the vaccine after all, it turns out. Pfizer says, oh, we knew from the very beginning it wasn't going to really stop the spread. We never said that. Oh, well, I don't know. A lot of politicians said it, including the President of the United States. People were treating you like you had the walking bubonic plague. Oh, if you don't get the vaccine, you can't come in here. You're not allowed in here. You're a science denier from the party who says a man can be a woman just by saying they are, and that a child is not alive until it's viably out of the womb, even if it's 9 months old. Even if it's 9 months old. And some go beyond that. Remember the crazy guy that used to be the governor of West Virginia who said, well, the thing I'm proposing is when the child is born, we'll make it comfortable. Give the mother a chance to decide. What are you talking about? You're talking about infanticide. You're talking about murder, flat out murder. But you're trying to make it the normal. Oh, let's not use such an ugly word. It's not really murder. No, I know another group of people who said none of it was murder. Just ridding the world of horrible people. Let's face it, folks, there is probably some actual merit to abortion where you say, yeah, there are times when it probably is vitally necessary, if not at least morally could be, you know, reluctantly utilized. But that's not what they want. Once it gets above a certain time, you're the science deniers. You're saying, oh, the heartbeat doesn't mean anything. Well, then what is a heartbeat for? Every scientist I ever spoke to said a heartbeat pumps blood through the body in order to sustain life. If you stop a heart from beating, you've killed it. That's pretty basic science. So if a heart is beating, blood is pumping through the veins, it's sustaining the life of something. Otherwise, it wouldn't need a beating heart. Oh, no, that's propaganda. Okay, well, then I think you're the science deniers. But it reaches a point, no matter what that point is in your own morality, it reaches a point, folks, where it's really just population control. And we heard Stacey Abrams during some of her political speeches say, well, you know, yeah, the economy's terrible and prices on gas and goods and services are going up, but that's why we need abortion. That's why abortion is so critical, because that's the only issue the Democrats got is abortion. Scare the women. Abortion. Scare the women. Yeah, we all need abortion, and that'll help the economy. Why? Because it will lower our population? Well, you're saying that at the same time you're letting our borders be overrun. And we're getting more and more and more people into the country, not less. So your message is abort your baby so that an illegal immigrant can come here. How dare you be so selfish as to want a child? There are people in Mexico who want to be here. You don't need a kid. That's basically Stacey Abrams' message. How can she defend that message? So when she gets on a debate stage, what's she going to say? She can't. That's why she won't. Much like Carrie Lake, her opponent's not going to debate her. And she's going to hang her head on, well, this would be an absolute circus, and I don't want to participate in a circus, so I'm not debating my opponent. No, you know what that's called? I can't win. I have absolutely no responses to any of her questions, and I'll look like a damn fool, so I'll just pass. And I'll pull the old Joe Biden, hide me in the basement, don't let the people see what I stand for until I'm elected. Get me across the finish line and I'll do whatever you guys want me to do. Democratic Party, hide me away, sing my praises, get me across that finish line, and I'm your puppet. Because you see, real candidates, they go out there and they say, let's just say I'm running for office, and I say, here's the following things I think. I think abortion should be legal until you're 3 years old. I think every single drug in the world should not only be legalized but free. I think that there should be no prisons, no police. Okay, well, then I debate that position. And I lose. I lose miserably. But at least then the people get a chance to hear it and say, yeah, I don't want to vote for that guy. I don't sit in my basement and say, my opponent's crazy, vote for me. My opponent's crazy, vote for me. My opponent's crazy, vote for me. And then when you vote for me, say, guess what you voted for? All these things that you don't like. That's what the Democratic Party does on a regular basis. They're afraid to engage because they cannot engage. Not successfully. As all of these debates have proven. I have not seen one debate yet. And again, I'm not a big, huge Republican Party rah, rah, rah guy. There's a lot of people in the Republican Party I don't like. And I don't even like Dr. Oz very much, but I'm going to tell you this. There's not one debate I've seen that the Republicans didn't skunk the Democrats because their positions are undefendable. You can't defend these things, folks. You can't look at the crime rate and say, I think it's fine. You can't look at the economy and say, economy's fine. You can't look at what's happening in education and say, I see nothing wrong with these policies. Because your average American says, what? What are you talking about? Winter's coming. I don't know if I have enough money to heat my house and put food on the table. My kids come home with a book describing how to give oral sex to someone. I can't send my wife to the store without me going with her because I'm afraid I'm going to have to be defending her at some point in time from a carjacker or a rapist or a thief. I can't let my kids even go to the movies by themselves or hang out at the mall. That's your average American. They don't want to hear this nonsense. And the Democratic Party knows you don't want to hear that nonsense. So they don't put those candidates up there very often. And when they do, they come out looking like the ones I just described. Horrible, ridiculous, unprepared, confused, unable to defend any of their positions. So they just point their finger and say, racist, liar, wants to cut abortion, wants to end Social Security.